Our star guest today is a classically trained singer and actress. She studied musical theatre at Lane Theatre Arts and continued to train in opera at the Royal Northern College of Music. Her theatre credits, amongst others, include Maggie in A Chorus Line, Mrs. Anderson in A Little Night Music, and Janáček's The Cunning Little Vixen. She's been on television too, the BBC's 4 o'clock Club, and appeared in Coronation Street, as well as pantomime. Her concert and corporate work takes her all over the world, and she's appeared with such luminaries as Joe Pasquale, Gary Wilmot, and Gareth Gates. I think it's time we met her. Shelley-Ann Rivers, welcome to Community Connections and Read on the Radio.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You have done so much, and you still look so young.
Oh, well, that's very kind. It must be this lovely screen that we're on at the moment. You can't see my wrinkles.
Shelley, where did all this come from? Were you from an acting or a singing family?
Yeah, I was. My mum and both of my grandparents, actually, they were all into the amateur dramatics. So really from the time I popped out, I was singing and dancing, and then I went away and watched my mum at rehearsals and took notes and started ballet at three, and that's kind of where it all began, I guess.
Was it always something you'd set your heart on, even when you were at school, or were you advised to still do the sensible subjects, as a lot of people are?
Yeah, no, definitely. I always wanted to do it. I don't think there was ever any doubt that that's what I wanted to do for a career. And then I did sort of music and drama at GCSE and said that I wanted to audition for drama school. And my mum had always wanted to do it professionally, and she didn't. She did have the safe career. So she said, "Well, I tell you what, go off and audition for the colleges and see what happens. If you get in, you get in. And if you don't get in, then go back and do your A levels, and then you can always try again." And I was very lucky. I went to Lane when I was 16, so I was a baby.
Can you remember how it felt to get that place, Elaine?
It was surreal. I mean, it was a time when you got told by letter as well. So it was one of those, you went, I went and I auditioned on the day, and it was the only college I auditioned for. And I just went, and I'd done their summer school the year before, and I went and I auditioned and just kind of waited for that letter for weeks, well, it felt like weeks. I think it was probably only 2 weeks. And then opened the letter and read that, and then went off to school that same day and thought, this is the start of something exciting. So yeah, it was, yeah, I still remember it to this day. It was yeah, it was a great day.
That was like the sliding doors moment that your
Yeah,
life changed.
absolutely. Up until that point, it was, well, I'd only auditioned, like I say, for one place. So if I get in, I get in. If I don't, then I'm going to go and do A level and carry on training locally and see what happens. And that was the moment that I went, right, okay, so I'm moving to London in September.
Totally different having to move to a big city and re-establish yourself. How did that go?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I was very lucky that I'd done the Lane Theatre Arts Summer School the summer before, and it was a lovely landlady that had a room upstairs. Her attic was converted into a bedroom with three beds, and I'd stayed with her for summer school. So as soon as I got the letter, I rang her and said, "Have you got anybody for next year?" And so for the first year, I stayed with like a landlady and their family, and two other girls at the college, and we were all up in the attic like the March sisters for a little while. And then in the second year, we all got a flat together. So it was, yeah, it was. I look back at it now and think actually it was quite a big thing to go down at 16 and just pack up from Stoke-on-Trent and go and live in London. But I suppose you don't think about it at the time, and you look back on it and think, okay, that was something.
You are a classically trained singer. That came when you moved to the Royal Northern College of Music to study opera. But when you were back at Lane, had you made a decision as to where you wanted your career to go? Because now you've done acting, you've done singing, you've done television. But did you have a firm idea, or was it a case of trying everything out?
I think the main thing was I wanted to do musical theatre. That's what I went into training for. I absolutely adored all of the kind of old school musical theatre, the Les Mis and the Phantoms and that kind of thing. And I trained my voice classically with a teacher from the time I was 13, but I wanted to do a bit of everything. And then when I was at Lane, I had a teacher at Lane who said to me, you should maybe think about, well, furthering your classical training as well. So it was a bit of both, but I never really, I still say now, people say to me, oh, what's your favorite, do you enjoy acting, singing, what's your favorite thing? But as long as I'm working within the industry, I'm happy. It's and it's the same with singing or whatever it is. I just enjoy performing. So it's so different being on stage than it is being on screen. You can't really compare them. So yeah, I wasn't really sure where it was all going to take me, but the main sort of focus and why I went to college was definitely musical theatre.
You went to the Royal Northern College of Music after the Lane Theatre Arts. That took you back out of London again.
Yeah, so I finished at Lane and then I went for what they, I don't know if they still do it, but it was what they used to call an advice audition. And you went and sang for a teacher at the Royal Northern and they told you what they thought of you, basically. So I went in and I think I must have been the most bizarre student that had ever walked in because I went in and sang Vizzy D'Arte from Tosca and I sang Popular from Wicked. So full on contrast of what should I do with this? And the teacher that I sang for, she was the original Carlotta in Phantom on the tour. So she'd done a bit of everything. So she kind of got where my vibe was, I guess. And she said, oh no, you should definitely audition for the college. So then I auditioned and again, very luckily got a place and went up to Manchester and so moved from London back to Stoke, then back up to Manchester and spent years up there training. So that was again a completely different way. But again, was something completely new, but has opened lots of other doors for me through my career for having the both.
I guess as well, with a love of musical theatre and a training in opera, it's perfect for roles such as Phyllis and Iolanthe, because Gilbert and Sullivan is a fusion between the two, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been very lucky to do a lot of Gilbert and Sullivan and I mean, I adore it. I really, really do because it's kind of that branch between the two. You've got to be able to sing classically, but you've got to be able to act, and you've got to have that comedy. And I'd even say there's a little bit of pantomime, bit of panto-esque that creeps in with some of these stories about leap year and fairies and God knows what. So it's yeah. So it's like my. It's like my perfect genre in there somewhere.
But amongst all of this, you did make it onto television. I mentioned Coronation Street. It wasn't a massive role, but it was part of one of the most loved series here in the UK. That must have been quite a thing, even though not a massive part.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it was another thing that kind of came along and was very, very lucky to do it and had 2 or 3 days of filming. And met some real kind of regulars on the street and that kind of thing. And yeah, hopefully, never say never, that it'd be lovely to do something like that again. But it was a lot of fun and it was a nice little cameo role that when I tell people they go, oh yeah, I think I remember you running out of a bathroom in a towel. So it was a little memorable role. And yeah, I love filming as much as being on stage, really. Just again, it's just a completely different type of thing.
I assume when you are working something like Coronation Street, even for a short period of time, you're really acting like a sponge and just picking tips and watching how people do things very close up. And of course, the technicalities behind the scenes of television, which us as viewers don't really think about.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, if you watched the episode that I was in, you'd be like, well, that was seconds, that was minutes. How could that be 2 or 3 days filming? But of course, filming is so different from live theatre because you do it so many times and it's from my perspective, looking at you looking at me over my shoulder, over your shoulder, so you're doing these lines kind of over and over again. And so that's a skill in itself of keeping it fresh and being able to stop and start. It's a completely different talent than being on stage. And you go from A to B. And again, with filming, you might film backwards, so you film the last scene first and the first scene at the end, and it's having that, finding that continuity to make it all make sense, I guess.
You've also appeared in music videos, which again, a different type of filming, but you recorded Mirage for Classic FM television, and you also recorded A Hymn for Christmas. And to my mind, there is something very special about things recorded for Christmas because everyone is in a different frame of mind. But I guess you were filming it a long time before Christmas.
No, it is. It is a completely, again, another completely different thing. And music videos are even stranger because you're sort of, depending on the music video, you're either in it and you're kind of present in the video, or it's kind of like you're behind the singing. So you sometimes, if you're doing a music video and you're singing along with yourself, it all feels a little bit strange because you're sort of miming to yourself and doing all these strange things. And but with A Hymn for Christmas, it was another really lovely opportunity. And I've taken a well-known song and putting lyrics, Christmas lyrics to it. And of course, it does come out every Christmas, which is nice.
You mentioned a little earlier pantomime. You described Gilbert and Sullivan as being like pantomime. And in fact, you have trod the boards with Widow Twankey and all the other famous Christmas pantomime characters, haven't you?
Oh, I have. Yes, I've been in pantomime. I think this Christmas will be my 16th year in pantomime. And I've played everything from Cinderella, fairies, Wicked Queens, Ugly Sister this last year, Principal Boy, you name it. And that's just Christmas panto. I've done Easter pantos. I've done pantos out in the Middle East. Absolutely. So, but I absolutely love panto because it was, I think that was my first, as many, that was my first theatre experience as a kid. And I remember going to see my very, very first pantomime and just being, taken away into that magical world and thinking, oh wow, look at that. That's kind of what I want to do. So I think it's really important that we have pantomimes so that people can come and get that first experience of live theatre.
It's a very British tradition, but also one that some actors can look down their nose at.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's getting more recognition, but there is definitely a, oh, it's just panto. And actually, just panto is usually two, three shows a day, and it's hard work and it's high energy and people are getting ill. It's that time of year. Everybody's, got colds and coughs. And when everybody else is kind of out and about and winding down for Christmas, panto actors are running up and down the country like crazy people doing the 12 Days of Christmas three times a day. And and trying to get through the weather and the traffic. And it's not for the faint-hearted panto. I think it's some people that don't do it think, oh well, it's easy, but actually it's hard work. But you either love it or hate it. I've never met an actor that doesn't love it or hate it. There's no in between.
It's very Marmite.
Absolutely.
You mentioned about children coming in to watch pantos. And I guess, in a way, if we didn't have pantos, children may not ever get started in going to the theatre.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, a lot of pantos, especially, our morning shows, our 10 o'clocks and our 1:30s, will be school audiences. So it may be that a child comes to the theatre for the first time with the school that's, never stepped into a theatre before, and that might be their first experience of it, and that might be something that they starts that bug for wanting to, be on the stage or go and see more live theatre. So yeah, I think it's really important that we continue with that because, like I say, I remember my mum is fuming because my brother was I went to see my first pantomime when I was three, and my nan took me to see Cinderella at in Barnstable in Devon, and my brother was being born in Barnstable Hospital that night. And apparently, I went to the hospital and said, "Oh yes, he's lovely, but now, Nanny, can we go home and play Cinderella? And can I be an ugly sister?" So I was more interested in the pantomime than I was interested in my baby brother, but that's how it started. So yeah, he doesn't hold it against me though. It's fine.
Once you have the bug, Shelley, you have the bug. That's the thing.
That's it. That's it.
On top of everything else we've already spoken about, you do concert and corporate work that take you right around the world. Another string to your bow, but you must get to see some rather nice places, or do you sort of arrive there, do the show, and then leave?
No, I'm very lucky. I do a lot of work on the cruise ships. I've got two shows that I take out onto the ships, and yeah, I've seen some incredible places. I'm very lucky. I fly in somewhere and join a ship, and then I do my shows, and the rest of the time I get to go and explore. So yeah, I've seen countries that I would have never seen, and places I'd have never seen if it hadn't been, for singing and performing. So yeah, just I think one of my favorite places I visited was Alaska. That's not somewhere that I would have necessarily thought to go, and I spent a lot of time on a ship that was going in and out of Alaska, and it was just stunning. But yeah, there's so many places. I'm very, very lucky.
It must give you a great opportunity to meet people as well, not only people on the boat, but people you meet when you're out and about in the countries, and get a perspective on other people's lives that a lot of us over here would have no idea of.
Yeah, no, definitely. And seeing, like you say, I mean, you meet all of the people on the ships, which are from all different walks of life and all different countries, and not just the guests, all of the staff and things. But then, like you say, you go off into port and you see and meet local people, and it gives you a really broad kind of scale of what else is going on in the world and how people live. And it's wonderful to do that, and also performing for lots of different nationalities and things like that. Again, you get we get in the industry, we say, oh, we've got the Americans in tonight, so it's going to be a noisy one. And it's not, it's just their way. So Americans will whoop as soon as somebody walks on the stage, and then the Brits are in tonight, and the Brits are a bit more reserved. The Brits will sit there and kind of go, come on then, impress me, and it's so it's interesting to see how different audiences as well when you're performing, how you go down with different audiences.
Shelley, tell me then, what are you working on at the moment?
Well, I am doing I'm actually off on an audition this afternoon, so I'm grafting. And then I'm doing a play in May in Birmingham for a few nights for Mental Health Week, which is, I mean, it sounds a little bit dark and depressing, but it's a play called The Narcissist, and it's I say it's highlighting toxic relationships, and it's quite a deep piece, but a very good piece. And we are partnering with people from Mental Health UK to spread awareness for that. So I'm doing that, and then I've got some cruises in. I'm off to Italy in a couple of weeks, on a Fred Olsen ship with my shows, which will be very nice. That'll be something a bit different. And yeah, so main at the moment mainly corporate work, and it's audition season, so we'll see what happens, what comes up.
So, if any of my listeners are on a boat in the near future, on a cruise, and you're performing, then if they come up and say, "Oh, I heard you on the wireless."
Absolutely, yeah. Come and say hi. I always say I love a chat. You'll probably find me in the gym or the buffet. And if I keep going between the two, then I'll still fit in my dresses by the end of
Going to say, if it's me, I'd probably be in the buffet rather than the gym. But anyway,
it.
Shelley, it's been lovely to chat with you today. Is there anywhere online that my listeners can find out more about you or follow your work?
Absolutely. So I've got a YouTube channel, which is Shelley Ann Rivers, where all my kind of videos and things go. And then if you want to follow my up-to-date madness, then you'll find me on Facebook and Instagram under Shelley Rivers, and everything goes up there. So you'll see what I'm singing and what I'm acting and pictures of my dog. So
What more can you ask for? Shelley Ann Rivers, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today. Break a leg with the audition this afternoon. I think that's what I should say to
perfect. Thank you. If I get it, I'll let you know.
you. Shelley Ann Rivers, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.